Morning. Today's daf and erev in Kuf Gimel. We're in Kuf Beis Amud Beis here in the Masechta. We're in the 10th parak of the Masechta. Potpourri of topics being discussed here in this parak, mostly having to do with Chilul Shabbos. This is really more of a Shabbos parak than it is an Erevin parak. But nevertheless, here it is in the final parak of Erevin. And so our next topic of discussion, and that's going to be the fixing of an instrument in the Beis Hamikdash, together with the karbanos that are brought daily in the Beis Hamikdash. So it was accompanied by shir, with the nisach hayayin, with the pouring of the wine that accompanies the karban tamid. So there is shir that is sung at the end of shacharis in the morning. So we remind ourselves of what shir was sung daily by the levim in the Beis Hamikdash. The shir was sung not only during a weekday, but on Shabbos as well. The Gemara in Sukkah, Daf Nun, fifth parak of Sukkah, so it has a debate in terms of whether or not the musical accompaniment that comes along together with the singing is the ikar or is the vocals the ikar. Ikar shir b'peh, ikar shir b'kli. So machlokus over there in the Gemara in Sukkah. For the purpose of our discussion, let us assume that ikar shir is b'kli. The instruments are extraordinarily important. And so what happens now is you're playing an instrument and one of the strings breaks in the Beis Hamikdash on Shabbos or on Yontif. So that's going to be our discussion here in the Mishnah. The Mishnah begins, kosher nima b'mikdash, avalo b'medina. So one is allowed to tie a string in the Beis Hamikdash, but not outside the Beis Hamikdash. Rashi writes over here, kosher nima. So nima's kinur shel halevim, shel shir halevim lekarban, im nifsika b'shabbos. So, right, like much like I described, right, I got it all from Rashi. So, much like I described, so they're playing some sort of stringed instrument. Okay, it could be a harp. Later on in today's daf, Rashi for sure is going to be describing a harp. But anyway, so it's a strong instrument. And one of it breaks, and it breaks on Shabbos. So, v'gmar mefarsh Simon de kasavar, machshir mitzvah shalal yayachol la'asos me'esmol deha hayom nifzika. So, what are we talking about over here? This is machshirei mitzvah. To play the instrument itself is a mitzvah. To prepare the instrument, that's machshirei mitzvah. And whether or not that's Docha Shabbos, so hopefully you remember, it takes us back to the 19th parak of Shabbos, about machshirei milah. The milah itself is Docha Shabbos, but what about all the preparations in order to do the milah? Machlok is between the Chachamim and Rabbi Eliezer. Hence the parak is called Rabbi Elazar de Milah. In terms of whether or not machshirei milah is Docha Shabbos, Rabbi Elazar says it is, and the Chachamim say it's not. Here, we're going like Rabbi Eliezer, that machshirei mitzvah is docha Shabbos, with the proviso that you couldn't have done it yesterday. Now, if the instrument snaps on Shabbos, so then, correct, you could not have done it yesterday. So under those circumstances, it's docha Shabbos. And Rashi continues to write, v'afagav dekesher av malachahu b'masecha Shabbos. Now, obviously, making a knot, in other words, the fact that the string broke, and you have to retie it again, you're going to have to knot it, so that's an av malacha. So good. So the Mishnah says that you can do that in the Beis Hamikdash, avalo b'medina. Now, mind you, by the way, this is not exactly the kind of discussions that we've been having with the surrounding Mishnayos. All the surrounding Mishnayos were talking about Isuri Durabanan, but because we're in the Beis Hamikdash and Ein Shos B'Mikdash, okay, but that's not exactly what's going on over here. Over here, we're talking about Nisr Daraisa. Making a knot is Nisr Daraisa. Over here, we are fiddling with the idea of Machshirei Mitzvah. So that's not exactly the same as the surrounding Mishnayos. Now, the imbetchila kamakarnasu. Now, the Mishnah says that if it didn't snap on Shabbos, but you just simply didn't put it together, it wasn't strong before Shabbos. Under those circumstances, it's going to be usher, both in the Beis Hamikdash and outside the Beis Hamikdash as well. Or remainder of the Gemara says, now I'm bothered with the following, and that is a stira between our Mishnah and a Braisa. Braisa reads, Nimas kinesh nifzik alohaya kosher ela onva. So if I have a string of a harp, a lyre, whatever the stringed instrument is, and it breaks, so you would not tie it, but you would make a bow. So, obviously, a discrepancy between the Mishnah and the Braisa. Mishnah says, make a knot. Braisa says, make a bow. The Gemara is going to have a number of ways of trying to resolve the discrepancy, 5 in total. Lokasha, the Gemara says, our first approach is going to be as follows, HaRabbanan HaRabbi Eliezer. So, the discrepancy is between the Chachamim and Rabbi Eliezer. So, the Gemara says, yeah, but I'm not totally following. L'Rebbe Eliezer da'amar machshirei mitzvah docha Shabbos kosher. If we're subscribing, if our Mishnah is subscribing to Shitas Rebbe Eliezer, that machshirei mitzvah is going to be docha Shabbos, so then what difference does it make? We didn't ask the question yet. I'm sorry. First we're presenting the two sides and then we'll ask the question. Okay. I went ahead of myself just a little bit. Let's do that again. L'Rebbe Eliezer, Damar Machshir Mitzvah Dochen Shabbos Kosher. So according to Rebbe Eliezer, so you're going to make it not because this is Machshirei Mitzvah, and that overrides the Shabbos. L'Rabbanan Damar Dochen Onva. And according to the Chachamim, where it does not override the Shabbos, so you can't make a knot. So you make a bow, and a bow is not Nisu Daraisa. So E Rebbe Eliezer, here we go now. So the Gemara says, I don't understand if our mission is going like Rebbe Eliezer, I feel like Chilanami. So then I don't get it. So then if that's true, where it's Machshirei Mitzvah, so then you should be able to make a knot regardless of whether the string broke on Shabbos or whether you're setting it up for the first time. Even if I'm setting up for the first time, I need to set it up, meaning I can't play the instrument without first setting it up. So this falls into the category of Machshirei Mila, or in this case, Machshirei Mitzvah, and therefore it should be Dochus HaShabbos. Now, I know we read in Rashi that Rashi makes this distinction between whether you could or could not have done it before Shabbos. But that's not Shitas Rebbe Eliezer. Shitas Rebbe Eliezer is that there is no distinction to be made whether you could or could not have done it before Shabbos. So over here, there shouldn't be a distinction as to whether or not the string snapped or you're doing it for the first time. Ela Lokasha, so the Gemara says, fine. So we're going to need a different resolution. This is going to be our second resolution of the stira between the Mishnah and the Braisa. HaRebbe Yehuda v'HaRabbanan. So it is the Shitas, it's the two positions are straddling the machlokis of Rabbi Yehuda and the Chacham, Rabbi Yehuda Ali b'Daman. Now, which Rabbi Yehuda are we talking about over here? So Rashi points out the Rabbi Yehuda, who's of the position that Aniva is an Av Melacha. So this takes us back to Masechta Shabbos and making a bow. So I know we just said moments earlier that making a bow is an Issa D'Rabbanan, not an Issa D'Raisa, but subject to a machlokis Tanayim. Rabbi Yehuda is of the position that making a bow is an Issa D'Raisa, not an Issa D'Rabbanan. So our Mishnah that allows for a knot, that's holding like the Chachamim, the Braisa, that says that you're allowed to, the Mishnah is going like Rav Yehuda, and the Braisa, that where don't tie but may rather make a bow, that's going like the Chachamim. So the Gemara says, Rav Yehuda, Liba Daman, the Gemara says, wait 1 second. Rav Yehuda of our Mishnah, within the position of Machshirin, how does he follow like? So, Ia Liba de Rabbi Eliezer. Now, the Gemara says, if he follows like Rabbi Eliezer, and Rashi immediately points out, there really isn't an alternative. He has to be found like Rabbi Eliezer. Because let's remind each other. According to Rabbi Yehuda, it doesn't matter whether you make a knot or whether you make a bow. They're both in Issa D'Araisa. And the Mishnah gives an allowance, and we're setting up our Mishnah like Rabbi Yehuda. The only way there's any kind of allowance is if he's makel by Machshirin. Fine. So he goes like Rabbi Eliezer. The Gemara says, if he goes like Rabbi Eliezer. But he's going like Rabbi Eliezer. So I feel lechatzchila nami. So the Gemara says, if that's true, so then we're kind of stuck. Because if that's true, so then what difference would it make if it snapped on Shabbos or it snapped before Shabbos? And once again, our Mishnah makes such a distinction. But if Rabbi Yehuda is going like Rabbi Eliezer, so no distinction it really should be made. So the Gemara says, fine. So this is now our third approach. HaRabbi Shimon, HaRabbanan. So the machlok is between Rabbi Shimon and the Chachamim de Tanya. We learned in the Braisa, Ben Levi Shenifsik Alonima, Bikinor. So here in the Braisa, we're talking about the Ben Levi, otherwise stated a Levi, where the string broke on his instrument. And clearly over here, we're talking about where it broke on Shabbos, meaning that's the setup of the case. And Kosher, according to the Tanakhama, you can tie it. And Rabbi Shimon Omer Onava. And Rabbi Shimon's of the position that you make an Aniva, you make a bow. And Rabbi Shimon Lazar, Omer, Avhi Eina Mashmasa Tzakol. And Rabbi Shimon Ben Lazar says, look, it's not going to help you. Meaning, you have a harp, you have a lyre, and whether you're not making a knot or whether you make a bow, it's not going to produce the same quality of sound. And the whole point of fixing it is to produce the same quality of sound. So what do you do? Ela Mishashu Melamata V'Korich Melamala. Oh, Mishashu Melamala V'Korich Melamata. So, okay, good. If you play the string instrument, so you know that what you do is you wind the string, and there's going to be excess string both around the wind and even after that as well. So what you'll do is you'll unwind, right, on either end of the stringed instrument, and what you'll do now is that you'll pull the excess in the direction to the other side, and you retie it. But in other words, you don't just simply tie the string together because it's just not going to produce the same sound. You'll just simply take the excess string from either side and you'll bring it down or bring it up, whichever way is closer. Okay, but anyway, what comes out over here is as follows. In this Braisa, we were introduced to the Shita of Rabbi Shimon. Now, Rabbi Shimon says, Rabbi Shimon's of the opinion that you can do machshirei mila on Shabbos, but only if it's e efshar lasoso be'erev Shabbos. Only if it was impossible to be done before Shabbos. Now, how do I know that that's Rabbi Shimon's shita? Because the Bryce over here clearly is talking about a case where it broke on Shabbos. And remember, the goal over here is to look for a Tana who both subscribes to the shita Rabbi Eliezer and makes a distinction between Efshar and Efshar. Meaning Rabbi Eliezer himself doesn't make a distinction. Rabbi Yehuda himself doesn't make a distinction. And by the way, Rashi over here points out, Rashi is towards the top of the Amud, but Rashi points out, if the Tana is not making the distinction, so it's not Mestaber to make the distinction within the Tana. So only when we see the distinction being made, like in this Brice that we just learned together, so such a distinction in fact is true. And so therefore, our Mishnah can be going like the Shita of Rabbi Shimon. Okay, that is all but one approach. Actually, it's our third approach, but quite frankly, it's the first approach that the Gemara does not dismiss. Ebay Sam of the Gemara here gives now a fourth approach, Hava Rabbanan. Both the Mishnah and the Brice are going like the Chacham Velokasha, Kan Be'emsa, Kan Minatzad. It depends where the break takes place, whether it takes place in the middle or whether it takes place on the side. And Rashi points out over here that Machshirin she'i efshar mi ba'oyom. Rashi divar maschal v'hava hava rabbanan. Machshirin she'i efshar mi ba'oyom dochen. That if it's a machshir that could not have been done yesterday, so that's going to override the Shabbos. And the Mishnah says koshra, and you make a knot, that's when the break is in the middle, right in between. So ilmale Rashi writes, ilmale onva lo mash makola. It's a pragmatic issue. That if I make a bow, it's just not going to produce the same quality of sound. If, on the other hand, it breaks on the side, so then you can get away with a bow. Okay. Ibai say mahava haba emsa, or maybe no, maybe both the Mishnah and the Braisa are talking about where the snap occurs in the middle, and marsava gazrinan, marsava lo gazrinan. And now, in order to reproduce the same sound, really what you should do is you should be making a knot, and that's our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says you make a knot. Otherwise, you won't be able to recreate the same sound. On the other hand, the Braisa that says you make a bow, the Bryce is worried because the Bryce feels that a gzera is in order. Because if we make a knot in such a circumstance, so the next time it breaks and it doesn't break in the middle, but it snaps on the side, where you could have gotten away with a bow, and instead you made a knot because I made a knot last time, so then you're going to be violating Shabbos. So the Chachamim of the Bryce feel that the gzera is in order over here. Adkan takes us to the end of the topic of fixing your instrument on Shabbos or on Yom Tov. And when I say yours, I mean that of the Levi. In order to produce the sound, in order to play the music, to accompany the karban. And again, the Gemara doesn't bring it up over here, but as per the Gemara in Sukkah in the fifth perek, so let's assume that our discussion over here is riding on the position of Iker Shir Bekli. Okay. The Mishnah. Chotchen Yabels B'mikdash Avalo B'medina V'im Bekli Kan V'kan Oser. Okay, so you have a wart growing on you. You're a kohen doing the avoda, and you have a wart growing on. Okay, if you like grammar, that first Rashi in the Mishnah, you're gonna love it. We're gonna skip it, but Rashi describes the usage of the word yabelis in the Mishnah as opposed to the usage of the word of the word yabelis in the Chumash. And grammatically, it's not the same. But okay, anyway. So you're allowed to cut it off b'yad, but not with a kli. So with the yabelis, so presumably we're talking about the yabelis that is growing on the animal. And the animal with the yabelis on it, with this wart on it, so it's a balmum, physically blemished animal and disqualified to be brought as a karbon. If, however, the yabelis is to be removed, so then mum is gone, and the animal now could be brought as a karbon. So now the discussion over here is cutting off the yabelis. What malacha are we talking about? Rashi in the Mishnah addresses that as well. Rashi in the Mishnah Dibra Amaschal in Bikli Kam Vekan Aser Avagav Dechiyav Nami Biyad Misakinu Vavle Chotech Mi Balei Chaim Vahave Tolada De Gozes Esat Semer. So Rashi over here tells us that the Malacha in question over here is Gozes Esat Semer, shearing the sheep. Now the challenge over here in understanding the Rashi is that in terms of shearing the sheep, so the Malacha of shearing, obviously one of the 39 Malachas, you're shearing in order to get the wool. Over here, in terms of cutting off the wart, you're doing it just simply to remove the wart. Sounds like we're describing something in the category of a malacha shein tzrich legufa. Okay, It's a challenge, and certainly it makes understanding Rashi challenging, but Rashi clearly is of the position that we're talking about gozes. But the malacha of gozes is when you do it with an instrument. You cut it off with a knife. But if you scrape it off with your hands, so that is a shinui. It's kala achriyad, it's doing it in an unusual manner. So once we're talking about doing it with your hand, so at that point in time, it is an iser derabanan. With all that stated, let's go back to the Mishnah. Let's reread the Mishnah. Chotchen yabels b'mikdash avalo b'medina, so you're allowed to do it. Now we understand. Do it with your hand, which is a shinui kala achriyad. You could do it in the base of mikdash, but you can't do it outside the base of mikdash. Outside the base of mikdash, it's an iser derabanan to do so with your hands. But to do so in the base of mikdash, so under those circumstances, it is an issur derabanan, ein shvus b'mikdash. Okay, now we're back to the standard track of these mishnayos, which is ein shvus b'mikdash. That's how to understand this mishnah over here. V'im b'kli kamakan osur. Now, if you do it with a kli, it's going to be asur, because as we just established, doing it with a kli would be an issur daraisa. Or remainder of the Gemara says, I'll challenge you based on a mishnah in Psachim. Hirkivu ve'evisu mechutz otchom ve'chatichas yabelas ein dochin, in terms of the Karban Pesach. So let's say you want to carry the animal into the base of Mikdash, and you're outside of Tchum. So you take the animal and you put it in your shoulders. No good, says the Mishnah. How about it has the Yabelas cutting it off? Also, no good, you can't do that, ain't Dochen. And Rabbi Eliezer Amar Dochen, and Rabbi Eliezer says you can't cut it off. Now this is Rabbi Eliezer that we just got done discussing in the previous Mishnah of Machshirei Mitzvah's Doches HaShabbos. This obviously is Machshirei Mitzvah. This is a preparatory stage in order to get the Karban Pesach ready, and according to Rabbi Eliezer, it would be mutter. Good. But let's put Rabbi Eliezer to the side right now, because the stira that the Gemara is focusing on is between our Mishnah and the Tanakhama, the Braisa. Our Mishnah says, Chotchen yabelas, that you're allowed to cut it off. The Mishnah says, you're not allowed to cut it off. Presumably, the Mishnah is talking about even with your hand. You're not allowed to cut it off. So, that is what's called a stira, and it needs an approach. We're going to give four different approaches over here. And right, the Gemara is giving many different approaches to these Mishnayos, to these Stiras. In previous Mishnah, we had five approaches. Here now, for the upcoming Sugya, it's going to be four approaches. These four approaches are going to take us all the way to the upcoming Mishnah on the Amud Beis. So approach number one. First, the Gemara introduces Rabbi Elezer, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina. Okay, who are the authors of these approaches? Right, and this is one of those scenarios where we know who offers these approaches, and we know what the approaches are, at least two of them, but we just don't know who said what. But regardless, whatever the case is, right, this is like partial attribution, not full attribution. But still, I guess it satisfies B'Shem Omro to a degree. Either way. So, Hava Habalacha, so in terms of the wort itself, is the wort moist or is the wort dry? In both cases, in the Mishnah and the Braisa, the wort is moist. The idea behind a moist wort is that it's more part and parcel of the animal, and therefore removal is more of an iser. So in both the Mishnah and the Braisa, the wort is moist. V'lokasha kamiyad kamikli. And the distinction is whether you do it with your hand or whether you do it with a kli. Okay, now, I know when we said the Mishnah from Psachim, I said you did it with your hand. I did say that. The Mishnah itself is not clear. And so what the Gemara now is proposing is that the Mishnah and Psachim is talking about, well, you did it with a kli, and that's why you can't do it. Meaning, you're thinking of doing it with a kli, but you can't do it with a kli. Our Mishnah over here in Erevin is talking about, well, you did it with your hand. Okay, hand is an Issur D'Rabbanan, kli is an Issur D'Oraisa. Good. That's our first proposal. Chanamar, now the other proposal is Hava Habayad. No. In both cases, you're interested in pulling it off with your hand. V'lokashya Habalach HaBayavesha. And then there's a distinction to be made whether or not the wood itself is moist or it's dry. If it's moist, it's part and parcel of the animal, so pulling it off would be an act of gozes, as opposed to if it's dry, all you're doing is just scraping off dead skin, and that's not gozes. So the Gemara says, Lamanda amar habiyad habakli, maitam alamar habalach habiyavesha. And now the Gemara wants to know, of these two approaches, why did each of these approaches necessarily reject the other approach? So the one who says biyad versus kli, so why didn't he like the approach of the distinction of moist versus dry? So I'm lecha yevesha fil b'kli na misharim, my time ifruche ifrucha. Well, if it's dry, so then it doesn't matter how you remove it. Excising something which is dry, once it's dry, it's no longer part and parcel of the animal. You can take it off with your hand, you can take it off with your kli, it really doesn't matter. So that distinction is not true. only because once it's dry, there is no limitation to how you can take it off. You for sure could take it off, even with a kli. So that's why he doesn't buy into that distinction. Now, the one who made the distinction between lacha versus yevesha, why didn't he like the distinction between yad and kli? So, amalacha b'kli hatanan. What are you talking about? If it's a kli, we have a mishnah. Im b'kli kam v'kan aser. Well, what do you mean? Our mishnah Erevin says that if it's done with a kli, it's going to be aser. Meaning, once we have that clearly established in our mishnah Erevin, with the mishnah p'sachim, what is it doing? It's telling us that a kli is aser. Now, that's not new information. Meaning, assuming that we know the mishnah Erevin, so cutting off a wart with a kli is categorically aser. So says the mishnah Erevin. Now, the mishnah p'sachim doesn't say whether it's talking about a yad or a kli. But if you're telling me that the whole point of that mishnah over there is to tell me that I'm doing it with a kli and therefore it's aser, okay, the mishnah Erevin says it very clearly. And now the counter argument would be, no, that mishnah p'sachim is giving us information. You're right. Cutting off of the kli is aser, I know that because of our mishnah right here in Erevin, 10th parak of Erevin. But that mishnah over there is introducing that Rabbi Eliezer disagrees. That's new information. Okay, and I know. You can argue that it's not new information because once you know the 19th parak in Shabbos, so you know that Rabbi Eliezer would disagree. But still, the application of Rabbi Eliezer over there, I don't know, maybe you would have thought that you wouldn't apply the principle of Rabbi Eliezer over there. Okay, as Kamash Malan, the chiddush is that we do. Anyway, that mishnah does have information for us. V'idach dumya. So now the counter argument, meaning right now we are proposing that mishnah p'sachim is talking about where you cut off with the kli, i.e., it's an issur daraisa. To which the Gemara counter proposal is, what are you talking about? Let's revisit that mishnah p'sachim. That mishnah p'sachim talks about those things which are prohibited to do. You cannot carry the animal from outside of tchum. Carrying the animal from outside of Tchum, what kind of issur are we talking about over there? We're talking about issur derabanan. In issur derabanan, so the we're talking about carrying the animal, which in of itself is an issur derabanan. From outside of Tchum, that's another issur derabanan. So what the Gemara is basically saying is, you see the other cases in that mishnah p'sachim, they're talking about issur derabanan, cutting off the wart. If I'm fitting it into the context of the mishnah, is also talking about an issur derabanan, i.e., you're not cutting it with a knife. You're taking it off with your hand. It's an issur derabanan. I have to say that mishnah is talking about cutting off with your hand because the other cases over there are issur derabanan. V'idach, now, how do you counter that argument? Here, kiva deloka Rabbi Nasan damar chayno seis atzma. So it could be that carrying the animal is not issur derabanan, issur deraisa. Now again, we go back to Masechta Shabbos. Carrying a live person or carrying a live animal, is that issur deraisa or issur derabanan? Rabbi Nasan's of the position of chayno seis atzma, that when you're carrying live weight, since it helps you distribute the weight and it helps you carry it, so therefore that's not issur daraisa. Okay, go back to Shabbos, where the Gemara proposes numerous explanations of why that should be so, why chaynas v'asatzmo is not a malacha daraisa. But anyway, regardless of that, that is Shitas Rabbi Nasan. It could be that the author of that mishnah p'sachim does not subscribe to Rabbi Nasan, and therefore he's of the position that it's a issur daraisa, not issur derabanan. That's as far as carrying the animal. As far as coming from outside of Tchum, now vis-a-vis that you brought it from outside of Tchum, we said that's an Issa Durabanan. Yeah, but we know that Shitas Rabbi Kiva is that's an Issa Duraisa. So it could very well be that the author of that Mishnah Psachim is subscribing to Rabbi Kiva. So we could say, it's a bit of a forced answer, but we could say that the other Issurim over there is Issuri Duraisa. And so consequently, when we're talking about cutting off the wart, that's also talking about issur daraisa, i.e. you're cutting it off with a knife, not with your hand. Okay, so we are right now in the middle of the Gemara's discussion. A steer between our mishnah and the mishnah p'sachim. Our mishnah says that you can cut off with your hand, but not with a knife. The mishnah p'sachim says you cannot cut off the wart from an animal. And presumably with a hand, but again, as we just saw, open for debate in terms of that mishnah p'sachim. So our mishnah over here says that you can cut it off with your hand. The mishnah p'sachim says that you can't. How do we resolve it? We have so far two approaches amongst the Amorim. Meisav Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef challenges. Amar Rebbe Eliezer kavachomer mashkit shehi mishum malacha dochas haShabbos elu shemishum shvos eno din shedochas haShabbos. So Rebbe Eliezer says, can I make an argument? And that is that if he could shech the Karban Pesach on Shabbos, meaning whenever Pesach falls down on Shabbos, so there is an allowance, a mitzvah, not an allowance, a mitzvah to shech the Karban Pesach, even though under normal circumstances that would be Nisa Daraisa. But the mitzvah of shechting Karban Pesach is overriding, that's Nisa Daraisa. If that's going to override these topics, what are these topics? Carrying the animal, bringing it from outside of Tchum, taking off the wart. So these, which are just Yisurei Derabanan, al achas kama v'kama, for sure they're going to be able to override the Shabbos. So now what do you clearly hear in this argument? What you clearly hear in this argument is the idea that all those items mentioned in the Mishnah Psachim are not Yisurei Deraisa, but rather the Yisurei Derabanan, otherwise the argument of Rabbi Eliezer falls away. Okay, so it's pretty clear that Mishnah in Psachim is talking about Yisurei Derabanan, i.e., you can't even remove the wart with your hand. Okay, so, truth be told is that we still have one answer that is left on the table, but the Gemara is going to give a couple more answers to resolve the discrepancy between the Mishnah Psachim and the Mishnah in Erevin. Mishnah Erevin says you can remove the wart with your hand. The Mishnah Psachim says you cannot remove the wart, and presumably even with your hand. And we just cited an argument of Rabbi Eliezer, which clearly indicates that we're talking about you're not even allowed to remove it with your hand, and Rabbi Eliezer was arguing you can. But clearly, the context over there is removal with your hand. So the Gemara says, Elam Rav Yosef. So here we are now with our third approach. Hava Habiyad, we're talking about removal with your hand. Vishmos b'mikdash b'mikdash yitiru, shmos b'mikdash b'medina lo yitiru. And now here's the distinction we're going to draw, says Rav Yosef, a distinction between an Isser, the Rabbanan, which could be overridden when it comes to Karbanos in the Beis HaMikdash, as opposed to an Isser de Rabbanan with Karbanos that are outside the Beis HaMikdash. Now, this needs a little bit of clarification. The idea is as follows, is that when we're talking about the Kohanim doing the Avoda in the Beis HaMikdash, so for that, Ein Shvus B'Mikdash. So there's going to be more of an allowance to override Isser de Rabbanan. And so therefore, removal of the abelis with your hand is going to be fine. However, when it comes to the Karban Pesach, now the Karban Pesach obviously is a Karban, but it's not in the Beis HaMikdash. Now, obviously, the Avodas are done in the Beis HaMikdash, but in terms of the Karban itself is dealt with us, meaning non-Kohanim, and it's handled in Yerushalayim outside the Beis HaMikdash. So this is what's called a Shvus de Mikdash b'Medina. And so the Gemara now is going to draw a distinction. Rav Yosef is drawing a distinction between the two. So the former were going to be more makel, and therefore allow the Kohanim to remove the wart with their hand. For the latter, for the Karban Pesach, which is being operated by us, so therefore we're not going to be as makel. Yosef Abai v'kamer la'ashmaita. So Abai is now learning over what Rav Yosef taught. And remember, Rav Yosef is a Rebbe to Abai. So he's going over what Rav Yosef taught. The Eisvei Rav Safra la'Abai. And here we go, a challenge from Rav Safra to Abai. Hayakore b'sefer al ha'iskufa. And so you're reading a sefer, hopefully you remember, we did this Mishnah and the Sugya not so long ago, and you're on the threshold, and while reading the sefer over here, meaning the scroll, minizgagol ha'sefer miyado goloso, while you're still holding on to one end of the scroll, another end rolls off and rolls into the street, and you could roll it into your direction as you're standing on the threshold. So the Gemara says, v'ahacha d'shvus d'mikdash b'medina. So interesting, the Gemara describes it as shvus d'mikdash. Now, it's not a carbon, but still, the Sefer Torah, so this falls under the category of shvus d'mikdash. The Kedusha Sefer Torah allows us to call it a shvus d'mikdash. Now, this is not in the Beis HaMikdash, so this is like the Karban Pesach. It's a shvus d'mikdash b'medinahu. V'lo gazrin d'ma nafel v'asil asuye. And over here, no gzera d'rabanan, meaning the threshold presumably is a Rosh Hashayachid, the streets of Rosh Hashayachid. Now, you are not violating an Issa Doraisa as you are still holding on one hand, one end of the sefer in your hand. But easily one can envision a gzera where if I were to let go and then pick it up, I would be violating an Issa Doraisa. And you see no gzera is made. And what the Gemara right now is thinking is the reason why there's no gzera is because it's Shvus de Mikdash. But that counters the proposal of Rav Yosef. Because Rav Yosef says that Shvus de Mikdash b'Medina, the Chachamim do make a gzera. So the Gemara says, wait 1 second. V'lo kumne b'iskufa karmelis v'rishus harabim overs lefaneh dekeven da'agida b'yado afilu shvus nami leika. Gemara says, can I remind everybody that when we learned that sugya, so one of the conclusions we arrived at is that the iskufa was a karmelis. So therefore, even if I let go, and even if I were to transfer from the rishus harabim to the iskufa, that in of itself is only an issur de rabbanan. And now the discussion is to make another gzera on top of that. That already is too far. That's the case of the iskufa. So it does not affect our general approach over here. If we're talking about a bona fide issa d'oraisa and a gzera on an issa d'oraisa, so under those circumstances, shvus b'mikdash, shvus dim mikdash b'medina. So the chachamim are going to make a gzera. Eitz ve the gemara challenges based on another mishnah. Mishalshana is the pesach latanur im chashecha. Here we're talking about where Pesach falls on a Friday. And now roasting the Karm Pesach. So you're going to roast it tonight. Now tonight is Yantiv, and under normal circumstances, Yantiv, you roast it like normal, but not only is the Yantiv tonight, it's also Shabbos. So Shabbos, you're not allowed to cook. Now the shechting of the Karm Pesach, I know it's confusing, but I'll try to unconfuse. The shechting of the Karm Pesach overrides, but that's talking about where the 14th concurs with Shabbos. Here we're talking about, it's a different date, or I should say better, it's a different day. Here we're talking about where Erev Pesach falls out on Erev Shabbos. And now the question of whether or not you're allowed to roast it on Shabbos. And no, the roasting of the Karm Pesach is not going to override the Shabbos. So what are you going to do? You're not going to eat raw meat. And not only that, you can't eat raw meat in this case because Karm Pesach has to be roasted. So the Mishnah and Shabbos already taught us what to do. And that is that you put it on the pit before Shabbos. The allowance over here is that you can put it on the pit right before Shabbos. Now, generally speaking, you're not allowed to do that. That is the Isser Derabanan of Shehiya, as we learned in the third parak of Shabbos. So under normal circumstances, this would be violating an Isser Derabanan. But for Karban Pesach, you can put it on the spit right before Shabbos. So im chashecha v'ahachadosh v'smeptosh b'medina v'lo gazrinan shema yechata b'gachalem. So now the Gemara asks what is a wonderful question, a really difficult question. And that is that this is Shvus de Mikdash b'Medina. And yet, the carte blanche to go ahead and to ignore the general Issa de Rabban of Shehiya and to start the cooking process immediately before Shabbos. And why? And how can you do that? Don't we say that Shvus de Mikdash b'Medina, we do impose the Gzera de Rabbanans? Ishtik. At that point in time, he was quiet. It's a really good question. To which the Gemara's response is, Kiyasa kama de Rav Yosef, amalei hachi amalei Rav Safra, amalei my time alo tishani lei. So now, the question was brought back to Rav Yosef, because this really is an attack on Rav Yosef's approach. And Rav Yosef says, oh, I had an answer. Here's what you should have said. And that is, b'nei chabur is reason hein. So, b'nei chabur is reason, just like we said, kohanim is reason. So then when you have a collection of people who are registered over Karm Pesach, which quite frankly is all of Klal Yisrael. It's just that every member of Klal Yisrael has to register over a particular Karm Pesach. So we say that the B'nei Chabur is reason, and so therefore they are like Kohanim. In fact, Rashi over here uses that kind of language, that they're like Kohanim. B'nei Chabur, Rashi writes, Hanim Nimala Pesach Zrizinin, Techola Oskim, Bekachim Zrizin, Vechachamim, Hilkachlo Lamachte. So the anyone who's involved in Karbanos are Zrizim v'chachamim. Now you think about the Rashi in the context of what we're talking about. We're talking about all of Klal Yisrael, right? It's a right. Everyone gets elevated to being a chacham, right? Everyone now is a rabbi on Pesach, and according to Rav Yosef, the answer is yes. In other words, everyone on Pesach is slightly a little more firmer, and so therefore yes. And so just like the Kohanim is Rizim and Ein Shvus B'Mikdash, so what Rav Yosef is going to argue is that the B'nei Chabur is Rizim, and therefore Ein Shvus B'Medina as it relates to the Karban Pesach. Okay, interesting approach of Rav Yosef. And Abaye Kohanim is Rizim Ein Amrinan, B'nei Chabur is Rizim Ein Lo Amrinan. Now Abaye's counter argument is, no, I don't see the equivalency. Right, the Kohanim are working in the Beis Hamikdash. So, look, they're trained, they're on high alert. They're Kohanim. This is their life. But Stam, for the rest of us going to the Beis Hamikdash and handling the Karban Pesach, it's one time a year, and we're not as careful. We're not professionals. And so this idea that the same allowances that are given to the Kohen are going to be extended to Klal Yisrael, I just didn't see that as being an answer. So it's funny, Abaye knew what Rav Yosef was going to answer, and Abaye just simply didn't like the answer that Rav Yosef was ready to propose. Okay. We are now up to our fourth and final approach here on the bottom of Kuf Gimel Amud Amud Aleph, and now the Gemara is going to give one more approach to our problem. Let's reset the problem. The Mishnah taught us that if the animal has a wart on it, so you can remove the wart with your hand, it's an issa derabanan, and ein shvus b'mikdash, and you can go ahead and violate an issa derabanan, the base of mikdash, by removing the wart. That's the Mishnah here in Erevin. The Mishnah Pesachim says that for the Karm Pesach, you cannot remove the wart, period. And so now we have proposed so far three different approaches of how to resolve the discrepancy between Mishnah and Erevin, Mishnah Pesachim, and we are now up to the fourth approach. Rav Amar Rabbi Eliezer, he damar machshir mitzadochin as a Shabbos. Okay. As the Rabbi Eliezer will tell you, that the position in which we're subscribing to over here is that we're subscribing to the Shita of Rabbi Eliezer. Now, this requires a little bit of thought. Rabbi Eliezer, which we've talked about already numerous times today, so the Rabbi Eliezer says that machshirei mitzvah are going to override Shabbos. And when we talked about overriding, we talked about it doesn't matter if you're violating even a sederaisa. So how are you understanding our Mishnah? Our Mishnah says that you can remove it with your hand, but not with a kli. And now in the fourth proposal of the Gemara is saying, yeah, and you know what our Mishnah is following like? Our Mishnah is following the Shita, Rabbi Eliezer, that machshirei mitzvah doche. So the obvious issue, of course, is that if that's true, so then why are we limiting it to your hand? Why not do it with a kli? So what the Gemara now is invoking is a chiddush within the Shita of Rabbi Eliezer. And that is, let's read inside the Gemara. So Rav Amar Rabbi Eliezer, damar machshirei mitzvah doche nes ha-shabbos. Umode Rabbi Eliezer, dekama de'efshir l'shanuyei mishaninon. And so now the Gemara is saying that within Shita's Rabbi Eliezer, still it should be done with a shinui. Now, a couple of interesting points over here. Number one, right, classic lamdus in terms of machshirei mitzvah, which overrides the Shabbos. Does that mean that it is totally overriding Shabbos? Is it hutra? Or, no, it's just pushing off the malacha, but it's not totally overriding it. Just pushing its way through dechuya. Okay, a classic lamdus. And so over here, in this approach, clearly the side of the chakir that we're on is that it's dechuya. It's just simply pushed off. And in other words, and, that means to say that the malacha is still there. It's just that the Torah gives an allowance, a dispensation, but with the recognition that the malacha is still there, which means that if you can somehow lower the amount of malacha that you're doing, i.e. move it from a deraisa to rabbanu, you should do that. And that's what the Gemara is proposing within Shitas Rabbi Eliezer over here. Our Mishnah says that you cut it with your hand and not with a knife is because first and foremost it's starting off with the Shita Rabbi Eliezer, that machshir mitzvah zochis haShabbos, but under the premise that it's not hutra, but rather dechuya, and therefore, if you can drop it down to a derabanan, you should do so by doing it with your hands, but not with a knife. Okay, and we're going to assume over here that qualitatively there's no difference between hand versus knife. Now, I know that's a little bit difficult to argue. Generally speaking, when you cut something off with your knife, so you're going to be doing a much better job. But still, for the purposes of this discussion, we're going to assume that there is no qualitative difference. Mahi detanya. Now, what the Gemara would like to do is, where else do we find this? Meaning within Shitas Rabbi Eliezer, that Machshir Mitzvah Dochas HaShabbos, where do we see that from a lamda standpoint, he holds that it's Dechuya, not Hutra, and therefore you should minimize the amount of Isser? Can we find a precedent for that? So the Gemara says yes. And from here until the Mishnah, we're going to be looking for a precedent. Detanya, we learned in the Brisa, Kohen Shalta Bo Yabelas, Chaver Chotcholo B'Shinav. So let's say you have a Kohen doing the Avoda, and the Kohen, right, up until now we've been talking about the animal having the abelus. The Kohen now having the abelus. So that's a mum that'll prevent the Kohen from doing the avoda. So what his friend can do is his friend can cut off the abelus with his teeth. Okay, now, in terms of the limits of friendship, so over here we are on the limits of friendship. You talk about a good friend. But, okay, put that aside for now. In the meantime, the Mishnah over here says that your friend can cut it off. And your friend can cut it off with his teeth. Now, b'shina v'imikli lo, chaver iniyu lo. Now, look at the number of shinuim that we're describing over here. One, with your teeth, not with your hand. Two, your friend and not yourself. So now, with that stated money, who is the author of this brisa? And here we're going to get to the key of this discussion. Ilei merabanan, uve mikdash. So are we talking about the chachamim, meaning not Rabbi Eliezer, and we're talking about the base of mikdash, kevin darmi rabanan ba'ama mishum shvus, so I don't understand. We're talking over here about violating Issa de Rabbanan. What difference does it make whether you do it or whether your friend does it? It should be the same. And so I don't understand the distinction. The distinction just simply doesn't make any sense according to the Chachamim. Right? You do it, your friend does it, it's all the same. So El Alav Rabbi Eliezer Da'amar Ba'ama Chayv Chatas. So it must be that's the sheet of Rabbi Eliezer who generally holds that's an Isser D'Oraisa. Now, just to explain this a little bit better, what does that mean according to Rabbi Eliezer? It's an Isser D'Oraisa. In addition to the Machlokas regarding Machshirin, there's also Machlokas regarding the removal of a Yabels when you do it with your hand. Now, if you remove a Yabels with your hand, so that too is a Machlokas between the Chacham and Rabbi Eliezer. It's a separate Machlokas, but it's going to impact the way we understand this Braisa. According to Rabbi Eliezer, removing a Yabels with your hand is an Isser D'Oraisa, whereas according to the Chachamim, that's a Shino, it's an Isser D'Rabbanan. So generally speaking, according to Rabbi Eliezer, removing it with your hand would be an Isser D'Oraisa. Now, according to Rabbi Eliezer, what's the allowance that allows you to remove the wart from a Kohen? So the answer, of course, is Machshirei Mitzvah, meaning as a preparation to allow the Kohen to do the Avodah. So that's the heter. So machshirin is the heter. So bamed de'efshel l'shenui mishaninan. And now the Gemara says, now, once you have a heter of machshirin, so how do you take it off? Shouldn't make a difference, right? Take it off with a knife, take it off with your hands, bite it off with your mouth. It shouldn't make a difference. Yet the Braisa says, bite it off. Why is the Braisa saying that? Because according to Rabbi Eliezer, taking it off with a knife or even taking it off with your hand would be an Isser D'Oraisa. So now, the reason why the Braisa says take it off with your teeth is because it drops it down to an Isser D'Rabbanan. And here now we have evidence that even the sheet within the sheet of Rabbi Eliezer, it's Efshel L'Shanuyeh Mishaninan, that if you can go ahead and downgrade the Isser from Isser D'Oraisa to Isser D'Rabbanan, you should do so. That's the Gemara's proposal, making all those assumptions. So the Gemara says, well, can we counter? Lo la'olam rabbanan vi'ialta b'kreiso hachanami hachaba ma'iskanan kagon sha'alta lo nishicha b'gavo uv'atzila yadav. Di'ilo masi shakolei. So the Gemara says, well, as far as having your friend do it, maybe the Yabels is in a place that you can't reach, right? Back of the arm, right? Maybe back of the shoulder is what the Gemara means, but whatever, or on the back itself. So the reason why your friend is doing it, the reason why you're not doing it, is simply because of pragmatics. You just simply can't reach it. But maybe the author of the Braisa really is the Chachamim. The Gemara says, but still, it doesn't make sense. It's not a good enough argument. So the Gemara says, well, if you can't reach it, okay. So I now understand why your friend's necessary, but why does your friend have to bite it off? Why can't he pull off with his hand? Meaning, isn't pulling it off with your hand going to be enough of a shinui? Remember, we're within the sheet of the Chachamim now, where now you've downgraded from Nisa D'Oraisa to Nisa D'Rabbanan, and this was, in fact, a discussion in terms of whether or not pulling it off with your hand downgrades it to Nisa D'Rabbanan. Right? Wouldn't this be proof, if you have to bite it off, wouldn't it be proof that pulling it off your hand would be Nisa D'Rabbanan? So the Gemara says, it's really hard to argue that the author of this braisa is the Chachamim. So the Gemara says, well, according to Rabbi Eliezer, which is your original proposal, that the author of the Braisa is Rabbi Eliezer, so pull it off with your hand. So the Gemara says, hi, my. The Gemara says, yeah, but that's not going to help. Remember, according to Rabbi Eliezer, pulling it off with your hand would be an Isser D'Oraisa. And even if your friend does it, which admittedly is a shinui, but still, doing it with one's hand is awfully close to D'Oraisa. Now, I know that's funny language to use, but that's basically what the Gemara is saying. Meaning that if you did it with a hand, according to Rabbi Eliezer, that would be Isser D'Oraisa. If your friend did it with a hand, so that would be, according to Rabbi Eliezer, not an Isser D'Oraisa, but really a short step away from being an Isser D'Oraisa. And there I can envision, according to Rabbi Eliezer, a Gzeira. But if you're the Chachamim, remember, according to the Chachamim say that when you remove the Yabels with a hand, that of itself already starts off as an Isser D'Rabbanan, unlike the Sheet of Rabbi Eliezer. So if that's true, so now your friend's removing it, your friend doesn't need to bite it off, your friend can remove it with your hand. that's enough of a shinui where it should be able to be removed with your hand. So the Braisa that says you have to take it off with your teeth, if that was the chachamim, there would be no need to take it off with your teeth. You could take it off with your hand. So it must be that the Gemara really appreciates our original approach, which is that the author of the Braisa is Rabbi Eliezer. And so why are you buying it off? Why not removing it with your hand? Because kol esher deshanuye, because even within Shitas Rabbi Eliezer, that machshirei mitzvah is doches haShabbos, but when it's esher leshanuye, but when you can downgrade the avera from an adoraisa derabanan, so mishaninan, so you should do that. You should in fact do that. Okay, we're going to stop here at the Mishnah. Tomorrow we'll start from the Mishnah. We have 2 days left in Erevin. It's extraordinary. But as you can see, the last daf it's really just a short daf. So tomorrow we'll start with the Mishnah, and let's just quickly review our morning. We basically tackled two topics. Topic number one was the instrument of the Levi broke in the Beis Hamikdash, and he wants to fix it. So tie it, knot it, bow it. So what do you do? So our Mishnah says that in the Beis Hamikdash he can make a knot in order to tie up his string so that he can continue playing the instrument. Again, in the Beis Hamikdash, Iker Shir B'Kli, although the Gemara doesn't discuss it over here, but we're going to assume. Under those circumstances, so you can make a knot. The Braisa said, you don't make a knot, but rather you make a bow. And so our first discussion today was how to make shalom between the Mishnah and the Braisa. And the truth of the matter is, with all the approaches that we gave, there is no shalom between the Mishnah and the Braisa. The Mishnah and Braisa are at odds at one of another. But how do we explain the differentiation between the Mishnah and the Braisa? Okay, and we gave five approaches to resolve that. That took us to Kuf Gimel. On Kuf Gimel Amud Aleph and Erevin, the Gemara tackles the discrepancy between the Mishnah here in Erevin and the Mishnah in Pesachim. The Mishnah here in Erevin says, you have an animal with a yabeles, which would make it a mum. So what you could do is you can remove it with your hand, but not with a kli. That's the Mishnah here in Erevin. Meanwhile, the Mishnah Pesachim that talks about the Karm Pesach that has the abelis, so it's a machlokes between the Chachamim and Rabbi Eliezer, but Shitas Chachamim is that you're not allowed to remove the abelis, and so that is a stira between our Mishnah here and the Mishnah over there in Pesachim. To that, four different approaches in terms of how to resolve it. One approach is the Mishnah is talking about Biyad, the Mishnah over there is talking about the Kli. Another approach is that our Mishnah over here is talking about where it's dry. The Mishnah Pesachim is talking about where it's a moist wart. The third approach of Rav Yosef, that we're going to make a distinction between Shvus de Mikdash b'Mikdash and Shvus de Mikdash b'Medina. So Karbanos and Kohanim, that Shvus de Mikdash b'Mikdash, more allowances. Shvus de Mikdash b'Medina, like the Karm Pesach, less allowances. Okay, and the approach of Rav Yosef did not have smooth sailing. A number of Raisas seems to go against that approach. Rav Yosef tried to defend his position, and in the end, Abai did not love the defense of Rav Yosef. And our fourth approach is that our Mishnah over here that allows the removal of the ward is following the Shita Rabbi Eliezer, that Machshira Mitzvah Doche Es HaShabbos, but the reason why our Mishnah says you can only remove it with your hand and not with a kli is because even within the Shita Rabbi Eliezer, if there is a way to downgrade the Avera, to reduce the Avera, so then you should do so. And it really touches on the general Chakira of, according to Rabbi Eliezer, is Machshirei Mitzvah Hutra or Dechuya? Clearly, this fourth approach over here is working within the idea of Dechuya, and therefore you should try to reduce the Avera and move it from being an Isser D'Oraisa down to an Isser D'Rabbanan. Is this precedented? Do we find that Rabbi Eliezer Shita Machshirei Mitzvah is that it's Dechuya not Hutra? So the Gemara says, yeah, we do. We quoted a Braisa on the top of the Amud Beis, on Kuf Gimel Amud Beis, where a Kohen had a Yabelis and an allowance of another Kohen to go ahead and bite off the Yabelis, again, testing the limits of friendship. And the Mishnah says that, and I'm sorry, that's all the Mishnah says. It's an anonymous Mishnah. It's really a Braisa. And what the Gemara constructed is a very strong argument that the author of that Braisa is Rabbi Eliezer. And really the reason why you're allowed to remove it is because of Machshirei Mitzvah. But if you can reduce the level of Isser by instead of removing it with your hand, but rather biting it off. So the So then you should do that. You should bite it off. And again, just to set it up, I know this part got complicated. Why is not removing it with the hand enough of a shinui? Because again, within removal of a yabelis, so it happens to be the Shitas Rabbi Eliezer is that for you, there's no difference between kli versus yad. Meaning Shitas Rabbi Eliezer is that the removal of a yabelis is an iser deraisa, whether you do it with either a kli or with your hand. And so therefore, in order to downgrade it for Rabbi Eliezer, you now need a further shinui, which is with your teeth. Okay, well, a funny way to end the daf, but that's it. And we'll pick it up with the mission tomorrow.